Mr. Ver, Reel 6. What happened to you when you saw this drafting notice?
Well, I went into the company office and told them that I thought I was up for posting to the railway operating battalion of the Royal Engineers. And he said, no, it isn't you, it's another that's also in our battalion, which I was totally ignorant about. So I said, okay, there's nothing I could do about it. And so I just leave it at that. So eventually I was, everybody was being posted to various corps and regiments, and the rest of us what were left. We were posted down to Sheffield, to High Camp High Green. It was a sort of a general service depot, people who used to be called up. I was given the job with a batman to three officers. I'm looking after three officers.
What are the duties of batman?
Well, I'm mainly keeping his clothes pressed, his Sam Brown was polished, his shoes polished, make sure his laundry is taken and seen to. That's mainly the end of the duties. And you also have to do a turn in the officer's mess, waiting on any turn. That was all that's it.
And you have three officers in effect to look after?
Three.
At the same time?
Yeah, three young officers. They're okay, good, nice lads. Not much older than myself. I was there a few weeks.
Did you enjoy doing that kind of servant work?
No, not really. No, I didn't. No. It was cushy, you could say. You didn't have any parade or anything like that. Your time was more or less your own. As long as they were all safe, as long as everything was good for them. You know, guards or anything like that to bother that. So it wasn't a job that I really liked, you know.
And you said you were there just a few weeks?
I was there a few weeks and we were posted down into Sheffield itself, where the main part of the battalion still was, what was left of it. And from there, I was only there a couple of days or so, and then we were posted down to Holt in Norfolk, to the 6th Holding Battalion. And we just carried on training there, cross country runs and route marches, and we were more or less just billeted in the village. We had a big house, in the village. And we were from there, we went on draft from there. But we got a leave, I got two leaves actually. We got one leave, we put on draft, notice of going abroad, so they gave us 10 days leave. I came home and we got kitted out with copper ticket, pit helmets, 12 piece, brass buttons. I thought we were going to India or somewhere. You know. And
how did you feel about the prospect of going abroad?
I was looking forward to it. I think you are when you're in the army, you don't want to be sort of stuck. I'd have come back later on and I'd been okay, happy enough then to do it, but at the time I was looking forward to going abroad a bit, an adventure sort of thing.
How did your parents take the news that you were going abroad?
Well, I think they were more or less, by that time, they were more or less, realised that that's what was going to happen. By that time I was going on 19 then, and I was older, too. I think you have to be 19 or younger for that time to go abroad. So it was on the cards, really.
So what date are we into now? This would be 1942, is it?
It would be 1943. 43. Should be in late 42 when I finish with the I may have been down there longer at Holt. Longer than a few days, might have been a few weeks. But we went from there, abroad, and I certainly went abroad in April 43, so it must have been the first time. Went home on leave and came back, and then the draft was cancelled. And as it happened, I was due then for if I hadn't been on draft leave, I'd have been due for the privilege leave. 2 weeks different privilege, so let's say the sergeant major. So I'm due for 2 weeks leave. Somebody just had draft. I said, but it's been cancelled. But I said, surely. So I said, all right. So I finished up getting another 2 weeks leave. Anyway, not long after I came back from that leave, the establishment, because we didn't get another leave, we'd already had it. We had the embarkation leave. And that was it, we were shipped up to Liverpool from there on a draft. Well, we were actually out, the call was out of an exercise, actually. And dispatch riders came out and orders us all back to it. Back to help for the village and that. And a list of names was read out, and that was it, we were on draft. And as I say, we received kit, we got all our kit, so we were all ready, and we were on our way then. So, up to Liverpool on the train, got out at the station. I think we went by tram down to the docks, on the tram, as I remember. And the boys got our boarding cards, and I was E deck aft, which was right down in the bottom, right back by the propeller somewhere. E deck aft, and it was Franconia, the troop ship, Franconia, being a liner. So he was on there, one of the lads with us, he was on draft from the Welsh regiment, and he could actually see his house. Where he lived from there, up to the living room, about that somewhere. And I say the deck after was well down, and it was the mess deck was, I don't know, it slept, it seated so many, I can't remember the number, but it was seated. But it slept about twice as many as what it seated, so you to doff down where you could. And there were some in hammocks, some sleeping on the tables, some under the tables, you know, so it was right. They wouldn't let us go and sleep up on deck. Not at that time, they did later on. But,
so we were pretty packed together.
Pardon?
You were pretty packed together.
We were packed together, yeah. There wasn't really sufficient room. It was, I mean, it wasn't as bad through there between me, so that we could move about. It was just at night, when you went to find somewhere to sleep.
Do you recall the date that you sailed?
Well, we arrived in Algiers on the, I think it was Good Friday, I think, the 13th of April, and I think it took about a week. So it would be about the 6th of April when we set out.
Was it a big convoy you were in?
It was a big convoy. We sailed from Liverpool, and then we sailed from Liverpool to Greenock, where the convoy formed.
And you joined the convoy there?
The convoy at Greenock. I think we went round a couple of Northern Ireland and round that way. And it took about a week with an escort to destroy that. One or two scares, well, we knew what scares, but not far from all, there was nothing more, no ships.
And you, as you say, you were cramped on this deck where you had to sleep. And you did you eat from the same deck?
We did, yeah.
What was the ship food like? Was it better than what you'd been getting?
Can't just remember now. What I think I used to get tinned stuff and tinned fish and things like that. I can't recall any specific meal. No.
Did you have duties to do on the boat?
Well, only duty. I had a duty as a messenger to the lifeboat station. Was it that boat? Maybe a little, but anyway. What happened was when the lifeboat stations, we used to do lifeboat drill, of course, so that you knew your station in case of an emergency. And I had to report to the bridge as a messenger in case the tannoy system broke down or they couldn't pass a message to take to the lifeboats. I then had to act as messenger. PT on the deck and things like that. Church service and Sunday.
Lifeboat drills?
We did do a lifeboat drill as such. We never actually got into the lifeboat. All we did was assemble at the lifeboat station so that we knew where to go, whether we could find our way, because those ships are in the finding your way up to the top of the mind there into any particular place on deck. That many corridors, isn't there?
When you were off duty, and presumably most of the days, what were you doing? How did you fill your time in?
Well, we went up on deck and we could walk around, walk up there on the deck, where all was at. We did our duties really. As I say, we did have one parade when we were called, on our draft was called together. When we were given deal like that badges and told that we're now in the Durham's.
Well, how did you feel about, you wanted to be in the Yorkshire Regiment,
We didn't like this at all. We, in fact, when I was writing home, I was putting attached 16th, and they said, you're not attached, you're in it, But you soon settled down. There were various drafts, I think there was some from the York Welsh, and there was some from the Welsh Regiment. And certainly one from the South Wales borders. All joined us at the same time, although they landed in Iran, I think, rather than Algiers. But they all joined the battalion at the same time as we did, so we were all a new lot of lads.
Well, we'll come to that, of course, when we finish with the voyage. So you're pretty crowded, as I say. Most of the day you're basically just filling your own time in, aren't you?
Yeah.
Was there a canteen on the boat?
No, I don't think so. I can't recall there being a canteen. I know. It must have been something, because I know I bought some tobacco, some rolling tobacco, on the boat. Cape Town to Cairo, cigarettes. So I looked at them, yeah, they got them, but when someone came round with them, or to sort of a nappy shop or something like that, I can't remember a canteen where you could go and sit and have a drink or anything, or a cup of tea or anything like that.
Were the inspections of the decks regularly?
Didn't seem to be, no. It was only a week.
I see you had a short journey, you just went into the Mediterranean.
Yes, just a short voyage, really. As I said, with a few, when they're doing exercises with the soyuz and that, we watch those dashing about and learning to, a few explosions, depth charge, something like that. So, perhaps lots of submarines about, but as far as I know, there were no ship torpedo or hit. But it's not a ship. It's a pleasant voyage, though. It actually got nice and warm as we got near to Africa.
And was it then that they allowed you on deck to sleep?
They allowed some of us then, so many, restricted numbers to sleep on the floats, on the deck, on the car floats, just let so many of you up on deck with a hammock. You didn't sling a hammock on deck, of course, you just laid on it, put it down, and then slept on it. And it just made a bit more room then down below. Because it was the only air you had was through some forced air that was blown out through. You were alright if your hammock was slung under one of those, so you were okay. But apart from being there, it was a bit stifling. Especially the noise of the propeller. You were pretty near the propeller at that end of the ship, back end.
Did you suffer from seasickness?
No, I didn't. No. I never had been there. I'm pretty good at sea travel. Well, the two did, but I didn't. Although it was it wasn't a rough crossing at all. It was pretty calm.
Did they organise anything for you? I'm thinking sports or boxing or any of that kind of thing when you were on the ship?
No. No, they didn't seem to have anything organised, really.
But as you say, it was just a relatively short journey.
That's right. Just making the best of it. You know, as I say, we're pretty quiet. I suppose if we'd have been going farther, which part of the convoy went on to the Far East, it's probably split it. I don't know which way, but some of the convoy then went onto India or something like that. So I suppose they had more room, but the book being on a short voyage, they probably didn't mind squeezing us in a bit. But as I said, I did let so many go up on deck later. It just alleviated the position down the line.
And you say you arrived in, was it Algiers?
Algiers, yeah.
And that was the 13th of April, I think you said.
Sure, it was the 13th of April. It was Easter anyway. It was Good Friday, Easter.
What were your first impressions of North Africa?
Well, the first impressions, that was just this, before we even got near it, you could smell the, mainly what I remember was diesel fumes. When you were well out at sea. It smelled great with diesel, and the night before we landed, it was a tropical storm over the mountains, which is right like a fireworks display, lightning, and showed all the mountains up as it flashed, and we realised that was Africa, then of course as you got closer, you saw that it looked nice and pretty, white buildings. And then of course, but you had to go down below. Then you were only allowed to disembark in your E-turns. They didn't sort of let you all rush off the boat. You had to go down below to be called on to disembark. By that time, the boat had got out into the dockside, and it was about 1 o'clock when we landed. And it was hot, and we still had battle dress.
Yeah, you didn't have a KD on?
No, that was in the kit bags down in the... In fact, I never saw it again now, because it was KD, but it was the peacetime KD with the brass buttons on and with the pith helmet. That was all in a sea bag, which it was all a kid on that thing. They said we were watching, thinking that we were going to Burma or somewhere. So we were still in KD. And it was pretty warm then, and we did quite a march. We did rock and roll over to the others were all asleep in the doorways and having their siesta because it was warm. And we seemed about 10 miles we had to march to a camp, Port Jalou, they called it. And we landed there, then we were reissued with it from there.
Were you there very long?
No, we weren't there very long. It was more or less until we were equipped. They took our KD off us and they gave us they took the batteries off, gave us KD and bush shirts and that sort of thing. And you all need, you won't need any toffee, let me see how much for now on life. So that was it. And then we were only there a short, I think they gave us a mosquito net as well.
What was the accommodation you were sleeping in?
I think it was tents. Tents, yes. That's the word. Everybody was plugging the long johns, and woolen vests. And they were flogging them all off to Adams were buying them, in the market for the Adams. And if you had a mosquito, all the better they'd have that. But it weren't there very long. They were sort of sorted out there, and then we were dispatched off to the battalion, which was where they were at that time.
When you joined the battalion, what state were they in? They'd already come through some rather unpleasant action, hadn't they?
They had, yes. Well, we actually didn't join. We did actually didn't go into the line as such. We joined when we were at the echelon, back with the transport and all the troops and all that sort of thing, because the campaign was just about over, and I just don't know where the companies were. Actually, we never joined them at that stage. So we're mainly in the just at the echelon. I want to see if Company Sergeant Major. I think he died last year. Finished up with a major, Pearson. Pearson. He was a company sergeant major, and that's where we got into the what we thought was the wrong kind of foot drill. He was drilling us, but the drill didn't drill the same as the KYLIs. So it was full of time. This drill proper drill put light infantry in this.
In what way was it different?
Well, the KYLI, you more or less started and finished everything at the standard East position. Whereas in the Dillons, you were brought to attention before. Yeah. I mean, the pace and everything was the same. Carry your rifle the same on the trail. But the, and I think nowadays, I think they've done, I think I was up at the, at the regimental drill last September, and there's a contingent there drilling, and I think they now do the same as the KYLI used to do. I think they all do the same now. And that was our introduction to the drilling. Apart from that, it was the same as the KYLI.
Were you allocated then to a company?
Allocated then to B Company, yes. Yes. But we didn't join them, as I say, it must have been a week or two there at the BSL. And in the meantime, the campaign finished. It was all on its last stage then.
You hadn't got into the final attack, which they made?
No, we just missed that. It finished up. From there we went. I think it was a place called Uwedzaga. And I think it was there. I know we did go up to Cape Bon, but I don't know if it was Cape Bon first and Uwedzaga last. And from Uwedzaga, I went to Tunis as part of the victory play at Tunis.
That must have been a big spit and polish deal, was it?
Oh yes, it was. But I was just one of the ones that was. I was just lining the route, and they took us in vehicles to the outskirts of Cuba to a camp, and to sort of spit and polish and prepare for the following day, get everything spartan. And they picked us up the following day for the parade. In the vehicle again, and dropped us off along the route to the position we were going to stand in. And we stood there long enough until the parade came past, and well, we'll see the Foreign Legion and various. And then at the end of the parade, as the parade passed us, then the vehicle come behind them, picked us all up, took us back to Uwedzaga. So that was our only sight of Tunis at that time. We did get a little later in Tunis, but that we thought we'd go for the name to Tunis, but also was the roadside where we were studying.
And now you'd be with B Company.
Yes. Then from there, then we finished up on Cape. Where you get mixed up with times. Finished up at Cape Bon, where the Germans had finally left for. And from there, we've been backwards and forwards by ship, went from Algiers to.
Before we come to that move, can we look at the company that you were in? You were in B Company, which platoon were you in?
12. talking to him, and Lieutenant Coops, I think it was.
Who was commanding the company?
I think it was Major Lieutenant Colonel Johnson. I think it was Johnson. No, he didn't. I think Major Martin had been commanded, had been killed. I think it was Major Johnson.
What was he like?
Oh, really nice. I think he was a good champion, wasn't he? Yeah, I think he finished up as colonel. I think he finished up as our colonel, I think. I think he was from Carolina, actually.
And you had this lieutenant who was a and what was he like?
Oh, he was a nice chap. He was a nice chap too. His wife had a child while we were there. And we all sort of celebrated it.
You'd be with a section then, were you?
Yes, yeah. I was made Lance Corporal there.
And did that make you a section leader?
No, it made me sort of second in command. Lance Corporal was more or less in charge of the light machine gun, the bend gun. You'd number one and two on the bend, and you were more or less responsible for the bend gun. More or less second in command of the section. Corporal was section commander.
How many men are there in the section?
Seemed to vary. You probably had about eight, something like that. About eight.
And as you've said, there was a Bren gun in the section.
Yeah.
Were the rest rifles?
You also had a just can't remember now whether it was platoon weapons or section ends. You certainly had a Piat and a 2-inch mortar. But I don't think each section had that, I think it was a platoon that me handed it round as you were asking the Piat. I don't think the three Piats in the platoon, no. I think it was probably just one Piat and a 2-inch mortar. There's certainly a Bren gun in each section.
What were those weapons like, as infantry weapons?
Well, the Bren gun, you know, it was... It was much slower than the Spandau, the German Spandau. I don't know, you'd find about 600 to the minute, whereas the Spandau, the two types of Spandau, but I think the fastest was about 1,300. They were belt fed, and the Bren, of course, was a magazine that was about 48 rounds, which is why everybody had to carry magazines in their pouches. Not everybody, but most.
Where did you carry your rifle ammunition if you're carrying Bren's in your pouches? Bren ammunition.
The bandolier.
Bandoliers.
Soft bandolier with 59, put around it, which you just slung around it. I had a Thompson, so I had Thompson magazines in my pouches. But rifleman always had a bandolier, 59 with clips.
Well, eight men with a Bren gun. What was the Piat like?
It was horrible. It took you only time to load it for a start off because it had a compression spring. It must have been 6 inches across, I think. I don't know how thick the section of it was. It must have been half inch because you'd have a strong back to cock it. To put your feet on the shoulder pad. You get hold of the gar, twist it, and you pull it like a bit on an oil machine till it clicked. Then it was okay. When you fired it, it knocked you back about a yard. But if you didn't hold it tight, it didn't recock. It was supposed to recock itself if you held it properly. If you didn't, then it didn't recock itself. And then, of course, it was too late. You couldn't sort of stand up to. It was a tank put them down, wasn't it? So nobody cared much for them, just the bombs to carry them out.